It's lowdown. At least that's my opinion thus far. I'm so glad to have my very special next guest, the creator extraordinaire of the recombobulation area and Civic Media's very own political editor, Dan Schaefer, for the State Slate with Dan Schaefer. You can find this segment every Tuesday at 2:30 right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, Dan. Happy to have you.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. Always a joy to join you here.
Just saw you in Milwaukee. Now I'm in the studio. Let's get into it. Early voting is here. We are in primary season. Can you believe it? It's yet another election cycle.
All of a sudden, we are back going to the polls here in the state of Wisconsin. Yes, early voting starts today for the February 18th spring election primary. The big race on the ballot this spring in the spring election cycle is the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Because there are only two candidates in that one, though, however, though that will not be part of the spring election primary. But there are a number of races, you know, going on all over the state. We're monitoring a number of them here at Civic Media. There's a race for mayor in La Crosse. There's a race for county executive in Winnebago County. All sorts of stuff happening in school boards and city councils. You know, here in the city of Milwaukee, there's a race for a very important common council seat as well. So with early voting starting today for that February 18th primary, it's a good time to head on over to myvote.wi.gov to go see what's going to be on your ballot, because these are the types of races that can often have a more direct impact on your day-to-day life than what's happening in Washington. And there's, you know, of course, a few things happening in Washington right now. Yeah. But let's not lose sight of what's happening here in Wisconsin too. And I think there's a number of these races that can have a more direct impact on your day-to-day life in your community. So be sure that you are focusing at least some of your attention to what's happening locally, in addition to the chaos that's raining down from D.C.
Absolutely. Dan, you and I am hoping next week might spend our entire half an hour trying to help people understand how to approach a lot of these local races, like what makes a really good state or local elected official, because I think that's sometimes hard to assess beyond the campaign rhetoric that everyone hears, which of course, by extension, ends up getting dominated by all of this crap in the national political sphere. But from a, hey, are my streets plowed? Are my parks kept up? How is my public school funding going? All of those essential things that really impact our quality of life and our kids' quality of life, those really go down at the state and local level.
Absolutely. And I think the one race that is going to be on the ballot statewide in the state of Wisconsin, and one that we should all really be paying attention to, is the race for state superintendent.
Right.
The incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another 4-year term here. She has been endorsed by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. You know, this has typically been a race that has not really brought in a whole lot of attention over the years. You know, Underley ran 4 years ago and won by, you know, about a 15-point margin over a kind of a more conservative-aligned candidate, Deborah Kerr. Before that, Tony Evers was the state superintendent of public instruction, and he, you know, regularly got more than 60% of the vote there. I do think this year might be a little bit closer, and we have three candidates on the ballot for the primary. Like I mentioned, the incumbent Jill Underley, she is running again. And then we have two other candidates kind of from different who are approaching things differently. We have Jeff Wright, who is running. He's a school administrator in Sauk County, and he has had it not exactly an can't call it an endorsement, but a recommendation to vote for him from the state's largest teachers union. The Wisconsin Education Association Council has spoke favorably of Jeff Wright and his candidacy. We'll see what kind of legs his candidacy has. The one I think. The candidate I think that we should really be paying attention to here is Brittany Kinzer. Brittany Kinzer is a education consultant. She has previously called herself a blue dog Democrat, but she has been running more aligned with the kind of conservative message on education in this, backing school choice and charter schools. You know, she has worked with the Milwaukee area nonprofit, the City Forward Collective, which is another group that works with a number of charter schools in and around Milwaukee. So not a traditional kind of like conservative liberal breakdown in this race. But I do think Kinzer's candidacy in particular is a really, really interesting one to watch and see if she can, you know, with a lot of people that are going to be going to the polls for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. You know, Brad Schimmel is the conservative candidate there. That's going to be a very close race. We're already seeing ads in that one. That's going to ramp up in the weeks and months to come. Now, less than 60 days until that one. And so I do think with, you know, a lot of conservatives that might be going to the polls to vote for Brad Schimmel, will they also be voting for Brittany Kinzer in the state superintendent race? So that's really going to be one to watch. So, well, you know, with the February 18th primary, again, today starts that early voting. So take a look at what's on your ballot for myvote.wi.gov. But that state superintendent race is the one that is on the ballot statewide.
One of the things that I think is so fascinating about the state superintendent race is that it really highlights one of the things that I talk about all the time on the show, and that is when it comes to policy decisions and philosophical approaches to policy, like education policy, though the national dialogue often tries to paint the choices as good and bad or black and white, the actual reality when the rubber of policy meets the road of implementation and, hey, what is the impact? Is it effective? Is it efficient? Does it get us the outcomes that we all generally agree upon that we seek? That is a different matter entirely. And there is a lot more gray area and overlap than it appears if you just listen to MSNBC and Fox News, right? This election, that particular primary, seems to me to be a really poignant example of that. And I hope that people do engage. We're going to talk a little bit more about how to judge candidates for these kinds of, I'm going to use this word and I don't mean it negatively, technocratic positions where you actually have to get stuff done, as well as more generic legislative and other races that you see in state and local politics. Because having worked in local government for a long time, there is a big difference between the competent and incompetent, and it ain't the initial behind their name. So, Dan, can't wait to have that discussion in greater detail next week. And, folks, you're listening to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. This is The State Slate with Dan Schaefer. We've got this segment every Tuesday at 2:30, so mark your calendars and join us. So we've talked about the primaries. The big primary being the state superintendent race. Everybody, so that you know what's going on your ballot, couldn't agree with Dan more. Go check it out at myvote.wi.gov. But there's some legislation that's percolating as well here, Dan, that people should keep their eye on. What else is going on?
Well, we are about 2 weeks away from Tony Evers delivering his budget address. So we're going to be, you know, kind of heading into budget season. There's lots of different things that we're going to be, you know, debating as that unfolds in the coming weeks and months here. But there's also, you know, kind of some other pieces of legislation that are making their way through in Madison as well. And so one that was formally unveiled today, there's been some reporting on it in the last few days as well. Is that a number of Republicans are introducing some legislation on the topic of immigration. And what they're looking to introduce here is requiring county law enforcement to help federal immigration officials identify who is living in the U.S. illegally. And this bill, if passed, would cut funding for those who refuse to do so. And so there's a couple different things going on here with this. Obviously, immigration has been a huge topic. Obviously, there is, you know, quite a bit to discuss as far as the relationship with the Trump administration and what's happening locally as well. But, you know, one of the things that I noted when I was taking a look at some of the details in this particular bill was that, you know, local government is already underfunded. The shared revenue bill that passed 2 years ago, you know, clearly didn't go far enough. It has unfunded mandates that are causing problems. And so if the Republicans actually wanted to do this to, you know, require law enforcement to work with the federal government in whatever approach that might be, instead of threatening to cut funds to counties, it would actually be a better
carrot.
How about a little bit? How about some actual funding for this? And so it seems to me like the very typical Robin Voss legislature to propose something, not fund it, and then set up a scenario to blame the Democrats, blame the libs in their upcoming campaign ads on these things.
Well, here's what frustrates me about this, and I'm going to try to get into the meat and potatoes of this very bill on Thursday when I've got my special guest co-host Tom Paulsiewicz. So if you're interested in this particular piece of legislation, as well as the governor's response, which he's signaled already, tune in on Thursday with Tom Paulsiewicz and I, because I'm going to go deep here. But to give you a little taste, and one of the things that jumps to the top of my mind are two things, and I've talked about this before. I have experience with these kinds of bills and issues. I was the general counsel, the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County for over 7 years. This is when sort of the term sanctuary cities, which, by the way, has no legal definition at all and nobody knows what the heck it means, when this was first coming up. Here is the deal. Using local law enforcement or trying to force local law enforcement to help federal governmental agents enforce federal law is actually a violation of states' rights and federalism, which, I'm sorry, Dan, if I'm remembering correctly, that used to be a really big freaking deal for Republicans, which they seem to have forgotten about. So that's thing one. It actually can violate the 10th Amendment, these federalism principles. Thing two is that if there is not a valid state law based reason to continue to detain someone, and it is not a state law based reason to detain someone based on a federal detainer warrant that is related to immigration status, that's not state law based, and that is not a quote warrant signed by a federal judge, you actually can violate people's Fourth and Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights, but mostly Fourth Amendment rights, which local governments have gotten sued over and paid millions in damages. So those are two things which are constitutional issues, which the state government can't wave its magic wand and whiff away. And the third thing is, hey, I worked in Milwaukee County for a long time. Our jail is often at maximum capacity. How are local governments that are already struggling with what are called unfunded mandates? You mentioned this, Dan. And what an unfunded mandate is the state tells you you must provide X service, but they don't give you any budget to do so. That's an unfunded mandate. Local governments, including Waukesha County to Brown County, Door County, all of them are struggling to try to make their budgets work. Do you know how much it costs? $1,000+ a day to keep someone in a local county jail. How are local governments going to pay for this increase in detainers? It's interesting because the GOP knows all about this, Dan, because they tried to slip in a little provision that's like, oh, you'll get civil indemnity for violating people's Fourth Amendment rights. That's in the bill. They can't do that, Dan. They can't just, oh, yeah, there's no such thing as the Fourth. And they say, oh, yes, you should go ask the federal government to reimburse you for the additional costs on local taxpayers for keeping people in their local jails. Do you think the Trump administration is like, well, let me get right on that and cut a huge old check to Milwaukee County? Just not happening, Dan.
Not happening. And then Milwaukee County, there are a number of Milwaukee County supervisors who released a statement today. I think it was a group of seven county supervisors, along with the some other leaders in the county, accusing legislative Republicans of promoting, quote, a misguided proposal that misdirects the time and resources of county sheriffs away from their jobs as public safety officers and reduces them to a tool of the Trump administration's bigoted obsession with scapegoating immigrants.
You think they might have mentioned like states' rights and federalism, maybe a little bit more broad appeal if they messaged a little differently. Folks, you're going to want to keep it locked. The State Slate with Dan Schaefer continues. There's a little DNC chair election. I think we got to talk about that and how the outcome might impact you right here in Wisconsin. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.